I want to wish everybody a good morning. I'm glad we're all here. I want to welcome our radio listening audience too, or our computer listening audience. The announcements this morning, it's good to see Naoma. Let's remember Dustin Jackson in our prayers too. Ken and Sandy White in our prayers. Josh Blair with his health problems. And all the other people that we run across in our ongoing world, there's a lot of people that have the flu and respiratory diseases going on. So let's remember these people. Let's remember our shut-ins, Rose Beatty, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, and Judy Mayberry. Jack and Millie Keene are all homebound. And then I was given an announcement, Lyra, a 26-year-old Ukrainian, it's a girl that Doug knows. She's in intensive care, and she's had a heart attack following a blood clot.
Stroke.
Well, that said heart attack. Okay, had a stroke from a blood clot incident. So let's remember her in our prayers, and let's remember our friends and neighbors that are having troubles and, you know, so on. On our upcoming birthday list for January of 2026 is Georgia Ross. Hers is on the 18th. Mildred King is on the 23rd. Kathy DiMario is on the 26th. And Brent Volkert's on the 29th. On our order of worship today, I'll be leading songs. We've had a change in our schedule on that. Our opening prayer will be done by Charles Wall. In our communion, our Lord's Supper and contribution would be done by Jamie Poe and Lee Merriweather. And our scripture reading today will be done by David Hutchcraft. And our scripture reading today is Luke 8, verses 5 through 8. Luke 8, verses 5 through 8. And Brother Doug will have our sermon this morning. And it says, what do you do in the garden? And then the closing prayer will be by Josh Blair, and our opening prayer will be done by Brother Charles Wall. Is there anybody else have an announcement or anything? Oh, there was a question here. Two more things I forgot. Wednesday night we've been having classes that started on about the eldership, and then on this coming Monday, the 12th at 6:30, the men are having a Zoom call with Rob Whitaker about the evangelism program, about the next evangelism steps. Now, to my understanding, that you can come to the building for the Zoom call, or you can get a link from Doug and you can watch it on your computer at home. No?
I don't know about the link.
Okay, you don't know about the link. Well, anyway, according to the announcement here in the bulletin, next Monday, January 12th at 6:30, there's a Zoom call with Rob Whitaker, and that's the guy that's produced the program that we've been watching on evangelism. Does anybody else have any announcements or any questions or anything? If not, we'll start with our singing. Our first song to this morning will be number 839. When all of God's singers get home. What a song of delight in that city so bright will be wafted 'neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, there's never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home. Singers get home. As we sing here on earth, some sadness or mirth is the foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, but never a sorrow will come. There'll be no sin. Hallelujah, amen. Will be heard in that land of the foam. Every heart will delight and every face will be bright when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, will never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Let's do number 761. 761. The name of the song is Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Number 761. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He, the great example, is the pattern for me. Where leads I'll follow all the way. Follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He, the great example, is a pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul's now secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Let's do number 684. 684. Which is, This World Is Not My Home. And then after this song, Brother Wall will lead our minds in prayer. Number 684, and then a prayer after the song. Thank you. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory.
We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, for another opportunity we have once again to be in our pews and to worship You, the true and living God, recognize Your Savior as our Lord, and recognize Your Word as our direct heaven. We pray for others, Father, not able to be back yet. Bless them and help them, and be back to once again to be with us. We pray, Father, for the world we're living in today, all the turmoil and hatred and jealousy and that's going on, and we pray, Father, You'll touch it in some way to bring about peace and harmony to where we can all live together. We're thankful, Father, for Your Son that came and gave His life on Calvary's Hill, gave that terrible death that we might have a hope of something beyond this life. We hope You, Father, to recognize the great love He had for us, and we must also give our love back to Him. Recognize Him as our Father, and as our Savior, and You as our Father. We pray, Father, You bless us as we go through this life. Give us all strength and courage. May we always have a positive mind and never give up, because all things are possible if the Lord is on our side. Be with us and help us. Be Doug this morning as he breaks the bread of life. Help us all to be strong and be faithful. And forgive us our sins, Father, and finally save us in Christ's name. Amen.
The song we will sing before we take of the Lord's Supper will be number 764, When We Meet in Sweet Communion. 764, When We Meet in Sweet Communion. And then after we take the Lord's Supper, we'll have our scripture reading after that, and then another song. From 764.
When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread, precious feast all else surpassing, wondrous love for You and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. God so loved, what wondrous pleasure, love and gave the best of Him, brought us with that matchless treasure. precious blood for you and me. While we sup, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you in prayer and remembrance of what you did, giving your son to go to the cross and die for our sin. We take this bread as a portion of his body. And he says, whoever eats of my flesh will live forever. Father, we just pray that we take this in the right manner, that we understand what we're doing. And thank you for your son and what he did that day. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray for the blood. Heavenly Father, we pray for your son's blood who died on the cross and shed his blood for us. We pray that this blood may be taken with pure hearts and pure minds, Father. We pray that you will continue to bless us, Father, and extend your mercy and kindness upon your children, Father. For we do need you, Lord. In your son Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Supper and apart from the Lord's Supper, we've also been commanded to give. Heavenly Father, as we go to give, we pray that we'll do it freely and with a happy heart. We're told to give as we've been prospered. Father, sometimes we fail to realize just exactly how prosperous we are here in this country and the things that you have provided for us. And we just pray that as we do this, we'll keep that in mind and give accordingly. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Today's scripture reading will be from the chapter of Luke, chapters 8 and verses 5 through 8. That can be found in your pew Bible on page 913. The Bible reads, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture." Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and it choked it out. Other seeds fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
If you would, please mark number 744 in your songbook. What will your answer be? This will be the song of encouragement, the invitation song after Brother Barry's lesson. Number 744, what will your answer be? And then, after you've marked that, the song before Brother Barry's lesson will be number 716, Walking Alone at Eve. 716.
Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God is power and might, is showing his truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, turn a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior. mercy comes with his word, he's drawing near, spreading his love and truth around me and everywhere. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above. Closing my eyes at even, thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, just meeting him face to face, trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me onto the Spirit's home. Oh, for a home with God, a place in his courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God
above. When I was a boy, we lived in an apartment building that was what I thought was a big building. It was 3 stories tall, and it was around it was my play yard, and on top of it was our fort, because it had kind of looked like a fort on top of it, you know. And so, I mean, it was great, but we had a place also, because we didn't have any yard as such. About a block away, we had a garden. And I found out very quickly from my dad what you do in a garden. You plant, right? You plow it up and you rake it out, and then you make rows and you plant seeds, and then it grows, and then you have to take the bad stuff out, like the rocks and the weeds and all those kind of things, to make sure you have a good garden. So what do you do in the garden? Is that you help it? Do you plant it? You water it and make it grow. So today we're talking about the spiritual garden that God gives to us. First of all, we'll talk about the gardens of souls. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, I planted, this is the Apostle Paul talking, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And so what we have to understand is that this is what happens, is that sometimes we want to bring the increase. That's not our job. Our job is to plant and water and nurture, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so that's what's really going to make a difference, that God will bring the increase. In verse 7, so then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he says, it's not about me. And he could have said also, it's not about Apollos. It's not about any of the others. It's about God. And if we can keep this in focus, because I tell you what, if in the garden that we planted by my house, is that if there was no good soil, if there was no good rain, and so on, and we didn't have a place to water, and they didn't always have a lot of rain in central South Dakota, but when it did, that's when our garden really grew well, and we did well. So Apollos, it says, you know, Apollos watered. And now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Other words, it's about us as God's people, God's church, and how we take care of the garden of souls that God is placing in our hands. Not only ourselves, but those that we want to reach and help to teach and to know about Jesus Christ. It's about us, together with the Lord. So what do we plant? Turn your Bibles, and we read that parable, right? Now let's see what the parable means. So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and let's read verses 11 through 15 together. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the one on the rocks are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and there have no root, who believe for a while in a time of temptation, fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. You know, in Mark and Matthew, for example, in this parable, it talks about those, rather than just saying those that fell on good ground, it talks about that there will be those that will be 10 and 30, 30 and 60 and 100%, will come to the Lord. Well, the thing that we have to realize is that what we have to do is our job is to plant. You know, when you're planting a garden and growing a garden, you can never determine, how much it's going to produce. Your peas might, you have to, if you planted them early in the garden, they're going to do pretty well, if they get some rain. And if you start them early enough and you don't get a freeze. But peas are more hardy. And so you plant them as a different plan. And then you want to plant for those that are like the green beans. And what we did a lot of times is that we had trellises and our green beans grew up on the trellises. And hopefully that sometimes they would produce like crazy. And then potatoes. Potatoes always amazed me. Because you take a little chunk of a potato. It had to have one eye in it. If you know what I mean, talking about the eyes of a potato. And you'd plant it and cover it and stomp it down and you move on and do that over and over and over again. Well, that one chunk of potato would grow up and it would be this really beautiful plant. But it always amazed me how much potatoes it grew underground under that with that one chunk and that one plant. Well, most of the time. Like any other things in the garden, the conditions have to be right. Well, what he's telling us here is that these are some things that we have to know and have to realize as we go along. The seed is the word of God. And so what we need to do for the seed to grow in the garden of souls is to plant that seed. And we're talking about in our classes, in our preparation for evangelism, is that how do we plant the seed? What is the best way to plant the seed? You know, if you're planting carrots, it's a really tiny seed. You kind of go like this and plant the seeds along like this. And you'd think a whole bunch of carrots would grow up, but no, they don't. So how are you going to plant the seed? And like I was talking about the potato seed, you plant that seed differently. So how do we plant the seed, the Word of God, into people's lives? And this is important. We're going to talk about this more as we go along. But he says the devil wants to take the seed, the Word of God, out of their lives and we plant in it. Well, do you think Satan wants the Word of God to grow in people's lives? Does not want it to grow in people's lives. He does not want it to grow and develop in our lives. And so he takes that out. And again, I just go back to the gardening thing again. Sometimes that row of seeds that you planted just didn't grow for some reason or another. So you know what you do? You start over again. You replant that row of seeds until hopefully you're going to get a crop of whatever you're planting. But Satan does not want the Word of God to grow in people's lives. You know, some will receive the soil and some won't. And this is so true. As we think about this, he talked about that some seed is going to fall on the rocky soil. I mean, not just on rocks, but on the hard packed soil, if you will. If you ever planted a seed on a hard-packed path, can you imagine why it wouldn't grow? Because it's hard. It can't get down into the ground. Sometimes people's lives are hard, and it will not work. And then he talked about planting the seed in a rocky soil, and some seeds get in there, and it grows up, and it's in people's lives, and they receive it, and they come up with joy, but they let the worries and stress of life to get it down, and they don't accept it. And then weeds, just it just doesn't work so well. My dad was an enemy of weeds, and I was his tool. I was his tool to make sure those weeds got out of the garden. And I tell you what, it wasn't my favorite job in the world. But they, if you're going to grow plants, you got to get the weeds out. But the best thing is that if you get it in good ground, later on in life, we moved to an Indian reservation, and my dad, we had a John Deere 110 tractor. And that little John Deere 110 tractor did a lot more things than whatever I thought it would. One of the things, we were told that we could use a 10-acre patch place across from where we were at and where we were living, and that we could use that to plant. And Dad says, we're going to grow wheat there, because my parents grew their own wheat, and they ground it and made flour out of it. Well, after we got the soil all ready, Dad actually put a sack on his hip, and he went like this, like the old time, and sowed that 10 acres like this. And you know, we end up having a pretty good crop. But you got to sow it in good ground for it to work. See, we don't always know what is the good ground, do we? That's why when we sow, some is going to fall on hard ground soil, some is going to fall in the rocks, some is going to fall in the weeds, but there's going to be some that fall on the good soil, and it's really going to produce. You know, one thing I noticed about this passage, and I'm going to open my Bible back up here for a minute. At the very last of this verse, verse 15, he said, and having heard the heart, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. In teaching people about God, it takes patience. I found when I was in Ukraine, when we did a lot of soul winning all the time, that the average person took about 9 months to come to the Lord. I don't know why it was, some a little quicker, but there was one young man, it took 3 years. And we studied nearly every week. And finally, he made a decision and a commitment to come to the Lord, and he's faithful to this day. So you don't know how long it's going to take. We need to have patience. And the things, when we start talking about soul winning, it's not going to happen always, maybe sometimes, but not always, just overnight. It's going to happen when we reach out to people and help them come to know about Jesus Christ. Our job is to plant it and develop it. Again, you know that there's in farming, and if you've been around farmers long enough, you know that when the weather's bad, if there's a drought, are things going to grow and develop? No, you got to redo it and do it again, and hopefully that the rain will come along and do it. You know, grow the things. But our job is to be a planter, and if we can, a water. If we want to develop the lives of people to help them come to know Jesus Christ. Well, how did Jesus plant the Word of God? Well, he taught, went to parties and weddings. Remember the wedding feast that Jesus went to? And he didn't know what was going to go there, except he went to celebrate with some friends about a party. Well, his mom came to him later at night and said, hey, you need to take care of the wine. And he says, it's not my time yet. He says, she turned to the servant and says, do whatever he tells you to do. Well, Jesus ended up turning the water to wine, saved the family, saved the banquet, and everything went fine. It doesn't tell us. It's only the servants knew, and his apostles knew, or disciples at that time, they weren't apostles yet, knew what had happened and how Jesus had done it. But can't you imagine, if you're the servants, what are you going to do? I was there when this new preacher, Jesus, came along, and he started, and he turned this water. I put the water in myself. When he dipped it out, it was wine. Don't you imagine they'd be telling people about that? Would you? And so the word spread about Jesus and many things that he was doing. He ate with people. Remember when he ate with the sinners and the publicans, the tax collectors? You think, why? Because he cared for them. He cared for them. Because of the program that we're developing and working on. one of the things that we're, Rob Whitaker, who's running the show, they've been teaching us about, is that we need to bring people into our home, invite people into our home. I've been very self-conscious. I've got an old couch that I got. It was given to me, and I was thankful for this couch, and an old table that's about this square, you know. And I got one chair, or two chairs actually. One's kind of broken. And so I decided that if I'm going to be inviting people into my home, I need to make a change. And so on Friday, I've got a new couch. I've got a new table and chairs that I'm going to, that's going to be delivered to my home that I bought over in Marion. I'm serious about this. I want to get ready so when I start inviting people into my home to eat with me, to fellowship with me, to study the Bible with me, that I've got a place where we can do that. You see, we got to get ready, people. We got to get ready, and so that when the time comes and we can, that we can eat with people. Now, Rob also suggested that we go out and take people to eat. And I think that's a good idea, don't you? You know, invite people to go out and eat with us. He met their physical needs, didn't he? Remember the 5,000 he fed at one time and 4,000 at another time with just five loaves and two fish, right? Fed 5,000 plus women and children. You don't think that's a big thing? What do you think every one of those people, well, we know at one point in John chapter 6, he went across the river, they followed him around and tried to catch up with him so they can figure out more about this guy because he took care of their physical needs. He had compassion on people. Of course, Jesus healed many, many people. He had compassion. He would see their needs. He would touch them, reach out to them, speak to them. Now, one that always gets me is the leper that came to him and pleaded with him, to heal him. And Jesus went up and touched the leper. You don't touch lepers. Why? Because you can get leprosy, right? But he did. Had compassion. He healed him. We need to have compassion, people. We need to be a people of love and compassion. He worked on their hearts, like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was curious. Nicodemus was a teacher of the people, of the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee. And he wanted to know more about Jesus. He'd been looking for the Messiah. And so Nicodemus came up on top of a roof, right, at night. Nobody else saw him. And Jesus preached one of the greatest sermons in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. One person. He taught and preached people publicly. I mean, we know that the Sermon on the Mount is one of those great sermons that he did that, where he taught many, many people at one time. And he went to their funerals. There was a woman that her son had died, and they were carrying the son out. And he stopped them. And he had compassion on the mother, and so he healed, raised the son from the dead. Another time, a temple worker, I'm trying to think of the right term, came to him and said, "My daughter is dying." And so he went to them, and they found out that she had died. He said, "Don't have faith." And he went up and healed her and raised her from the dead, 12-year-old girl that had died. How did Paul plant the Word of God? How did he do it? Well, Paul was a tent maker. Now, I'm not necessarily recommending that you and I become tent makers, okay? But what it does say to us is that we can start where we're at, where we're working, who we're working with. We can be the tent maker in the job that we're doing. Start where you're at with the people that you're around. Don't you imagine, the Bible doesn't tell us that Paul did a lot of teaching while he was being a tent maker, but I can't imagine you can keep Paul silent. He taught publicly. He taught to many people at one time. He taught to them just like Jesus, like I'm speaking to you today, except maybe there were, this building would be full. And Paul was teaching them. He went from house to house. In Corinthians, it tells us that he went from house to house, teaching the people. He taught in schools for a year and a half in Ephesus. He taught in Corinth, for a year and a half. He taught at the school of Tyrannus. And because there's the people that were willing to listen and willing to hear. He taught in synagogues. Now some, he went to the Jews first because that's what he always felt like he should do. And some received him and some didn't. Some persecuted him very heavily. And he taught with the church. We know that he taught with the church and he stayed up till midnight preaching one time to the people. Well, the second thing that we do is found in Apollos, that Apollos watered. He kept working on the lives that Paul had started. Now, that didn't mean that Paul didn't have any conversions, as you will, people that he baptized. He said in Corinthians, I baptized just these few people. Besides that, I don't know if I baptized anybody else. But that's not the point. The point is that he did teach somebody. He did water some. But Apollos did more of that. Apollos was a good waterer. And it's important to water a garden. Believe me, if you really want a garden to grow, you want to water it. And not drown it, right? You don't want to drown it. But you want to water it enough so that it gets the moisture down into the roots, waters the plants, and so on. We don't want to drown people with water. We want to nurture them, to help them, to feed them, to grow. He preached and taught more and more every day. More what Paul had done. And he grew on that. He built on that. And that's what we can do. He spent more time with them in whatever they were doing. It doesn't tell us a great deal about Apollos, but we know that he was a good man of God and that he had needed a way, didn't know it. First of all, he wasn't teaching everything correctly. But Priscilla and Aquila, a husband and wife team, took him aside and taught him the way of God more accurately. He laughed with them. I'm sure he cried with them. Paul said that's what he did too, that he cried with them and laughed with them, enjoyed their lives. He kept bringing the Word of God into their lives. The Word of God needs to be on our hearts and on our lips all the time. Well, there's different planting stages for us. First of all, out in the world, for us, meeting people in the world where they're at. Like we talked about earlier, like the tent maker at work, at play, sporting events, barbecues, wherever you might be going with people, cookouts. We don't do too many cookouts this time of year. I mean, I don't anyway. In the hospital, sometimes we meet people that have needs in the hospital. At meals together, like our potlucks, maybe eating together at a restaurant, eating together in our homes. Letting them know who you are and that you care. I think that's one of the things that Rob continues to emphasize. We have to care for people. Truly, honestly, love people. Living a faithful Christian life. Letting our light shine before Him. We're told that we're to be a light that shines. And inviting them to know more about God. Third, growing the Word of God in people's lives. Invite people to discover God for themselves. Would you like to know more about God and how He can work in your life? You want to? Wouldn't you know? You know, I would be glad to help you share with you how you can do that. Talk about God, Jesus, and the Bible. Now, it takes more, as we've been talking about with Rob and so on. It takes more than just talking to people at work. You need to take the next step if you can, and invite them to church services and Bible studies. I think I've told you that I worked for a while at a car dealership, and I was determined that I was not going to get myself in trouble. And one of the men, he said, you used to be a preacher, weren't you? I think he maybe said preacher, pastor probably is what he said. Didn't you used to be a pastor? And I said, yes. He said, do you know the Bible pretty good? And I said, well, pretty good. And he started asking me Bible questions. And it really opened up a good dialogue. But it took more than that. We didn't finish that talk. We didn't finish to the end. Offer to pray for them and with them. Everybody has struggles in life. Everybody has pains and difficulties. We need to take more time to pray for one another. Just as an example, I have two prayer requests for you today. You heard one of them this morning. This morning I found out that one of my dear sisters in Christ, she's 26 years old. I first met her about 6 years ago. She's and She was a good Christian, young Christian at that time. She had been a Christian only a short period of time. But over the years that I've known her, she has just grown and grown and grown in the Lord. Now she lived in a town in eastern Ukraine. It's called Bakhmut. That is non-existent anymore. It's completely been destroyed. And so she's a refugee now in western Ukraine, in Lviv, Ukraine, the far western city of Ukraine. And she's been working with the church. She works with children. They're planting a new church, and which is about an hour and a half away, something like that, from where they're at. And she goes there every Sunday with a few people to help that church to grow and get its feet on the ground. Found out this morning that Lira had a stroke and that she was in intensive care in the hospital. That's on Facebook. One of my dear friends there had put that on there. And so I didn't know what to do about it. And finally I got a hold of Artur, the Ukrainian preacher, one that we work with. And his wife, Alicia, is very close with Lira, very close friends. And they told me that it's not as that first 24 hours. And that she has a blood clot. And she can't see out of her left eye right now. She's 26. I never heard of a 26-year-old having a stroke before. So I'm praying for her. We need to let people know that we will pray for them. And not just to say it. Don't just say, I'll pray for you. Pray for them. If you can, right there, right then, right at that time. If you can. Pray for people. People, it helps people to hear you praying for them. Invite them into your home. And I've already talked about this, about inviting people into your home. I want to do this more. I want to change and grow more in this area myself. Invite them to church activities. Not only services, but our potluck meals, other things that we might be doing, activities that we might have. Invite them to Bible class and worship. Open the church building as much as possible. I'm here in the mornings from 8:30 to 12:30, Monday through Thursday. That's good, but very, very seldom do I ever have anybody come, and that's okay. But I'm just saying, this building is not used as much as it possibly could be used. And we need to take advantage of opening that up so that we can help more people, touch more people's lives. Use this building. How about watering? How do we water? Well, we keep teaching. We keep talking. We keep living, right? We follow up. You are important. Send people cards. Let them know that we care about them. And he's been talking about this card ministry. And I think it's going to be very good for us. Live the message and life of Jesus every day and every way in our lives. That's a challenge, isn't it? Because every day, things come along and get into us and bother us and struggle with. But we need to live Jesus wherever we're at and wherever we go. Study deeper with people as the need arises. Like you said, people start asking questions. Saying, would you like just to get together and read the Bible together? And I've got a Bible study that's just three booklets long. And you can come to God, you can come to know more about God. Would you like to do that? Study more after they become Christians. Of course, follow-up is so very important to help people to continue on in the faith. God will bring the increase. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do we believe that? Do we believe that when Jesus promises that to us, that this is going to be a reality for us? We work together. And I think that we need to each be here. You need to be here and be a part of our classes and the things that when we're talking about, how do we reach the lost? Get the word of God growing and working in the hearts of people. The question as we finish this morning, is that are you ready for God to bring you into his kingdom where you can come to him and be a part with him? Are you ready so that you can walk with him, walk in the light as he is in the light, so that we can all be a part of God's family together? Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Sadly, you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling, you'll fall on your knee. Facing the sentence of life or of death, what will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free. Washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
Something else I think we need to be aware of, and that some of the facilities, like nursing homes and things like that, COVID is striking again. And so we need to pray for people, especially living in those facilities and those homes, so that they will be safe and that they would be, that this COVID disease will come to an end again.
Let's remember the ones in our bulletin that were announced this morning, the ones that are sick and afflicted, the ones that are shut in. Let's remember that on Wednesday night we're having an elderships study for selecting elders and studying about the qualifications. Let's remember January 12th at 6:30 at the building of the men's Zoom call on the Rob Whitaker program that we're now doing on evangelism. Let's remember Doug's friend Lyra as she has her trying to strive through her medical problems with the stroke that she had and all this. Tonight's sermon will be by Doug Berry. It's Great Prayers from the New Testament. And let's remember that on Sunday we have class at 9:30, main preaching at 10:30, again at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then on Wednesday night we have services at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Also, we want to thank all of our visitors for coming, choosing us to come and visit with. So if you would, there's a card in the back of the pew. If you would, fill it out and give it to somebody on your way out or whatever, Doug or somebody, and we'd like to contact or have more contact with you. If not, yes, sir, James.
I'd like to ask the men to meet for just a minute to plan a meeting for budget.
All right, James says he'd like to meet with the men for just a meeting, a quick meeting to plan for the budget. Anybody else have anything before Josh dismisses us? Okay. Nothing else? Brother Josh.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please go with us as we leave here today. Be with us, keep us safe, help us to show others the way to live, help us to be an example to them and help them to help to lead them to you. Please watch over us, care for us, and guide us, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Jesse, this way. It don't matter to me. I gotta go to the. Oh.
She ran in there.
She ran in there.
Get that car taken care of tomorrow.
Yeah. I sure have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, the mic's in it. Mm-hmm. They can see.
Hands off.
It's really tough. I was like, do anything but make it worse.
Yeah. We just have to have a picture.
Get your shoes.
Bring them here.
This is all day for you.
Bring them here.
That's his brother.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
She knows I'm tough as hell.